You know, as I was thinking about the saints who've gone on to be with God this year, I couldn't help but think of all the beds that I have sat beside in the last 8 years, holding hands and praying and laughing, crying, getting into deep conversations where people I loved were sick and dying. I looked back, and Steve Brummett was the first funeral service that I conducted here in Warsaw on October 23rd, 2007. And I've officiated right at 50 funeral services for this congregation, with Eleanor Downs being my last. What an honor it is to be with individuals and families in these life situations. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of your life. In both those difficult times, as well as the mountaintop times, such as new births and birthdays and anniversaries, I appreciate you opening your lives up and allowing me to be a part of that. But you know, while I was reflecting, I drifted back to three women that really influenced my life. My two grandmothers and my great aunt. I never knew my grandfathers. They were both gone by the time I came around. But my grandmothers and my great aunt affected me greatly. My dad's mom, we called her Mimi. I really don't know why we called her Mimi. But we called her Mimi, and she lived in the same town as we did. As a matter of fact, it was the same town that Dad grew up in. But whenever I was in kindergarten, we went half days back then, guys. I know it's full days now, but back then we went half days, and I would walk to her house every day after school. Yes, they were different times then. I remember that she would always be waiting on her back porch for me with a drink, and we would sit back there and talk about our day, and I'm sure I had plenty to say. Eventually, we would end up in bed, and she would read to me until I fell asleep. I actually think it was probably her nap time, but I just happened to be a part of that ritual, right? You know, The Little Engine That Could, and books like that. I still remember those moments, even though I was in kindergarten. As I grew up, she taught me many things. She taught me how to mow. Believe it or not, my grandmother taught me how to mow. She taught me how to do laundry, except her dryer had these two cylinders, and she would put the clothes in there, and they would be flat when they came out on the other side with the water wrung out of them, I guess is how you say it. She was always worried about me getting my fingers in there. She taught me a lot through the years. My great aunt Bernice was Mimi's sister. She came into town after she retired from teaching when I was older. Needless to say, she was a spitfire, all 4 feet, 10 inches of her. She had to be a spitfire because she taught fourth and fifth grade art for like 40 years. So you can imagine what her personality, well, if you imagine what her personality must have been like, you'd probably be pretty close, all right? She taught me a lot about life as well. She told me many stories, and the thing that influenced me the most was the way she looked at life. The spunk, you might say, that she had for life and how that carried her through the years. And then there was Mom's mom. We called her Mackie. I'm sure it's my oldest sister's fault. I really don't know where this name came from either. It wasn't my fault, mind you. We called her Mackie. She lived in Augusta, Kansas, and I've talked about Mackie through the years quite a bit as I have spoken to you all, and it's because she influenced my life quite a bit. But she would live with us through the winter months, and so it was quite an awesome experience, especially on this end of things, as I look back. But she was a former teacher and a principal back when teachers and principals that were female could not be married. And so she waited, and she waited a long time before she was married. Didn't have mom until she was in her 40s. Think about that for a minute, back in 1930. She helped me with my homework. She taught me how to play cards. She truly was a friend. And as I got older, she helped me with life. I was so blessed to have these wonderful women, three wonderful women in my life. In many ways, they are three of the saints, the many saints that I have gone before me. The time they spent with me, the hours we spent together talking, what an amazing, amazing gift. You know, as I think back, I had a mowing service. I had 22 lawns that I mowed and raked and did snow service with through the years. Just about every single one of those ladies that I mowed for, I would sit and talk to them as we had tea or lemonade or whatever. And you know, I have to admit, at the time, it kind of irritated me because I needed to be mowing 22 lawns, right? But now as I look back, I realize that they were preparing me for ministry. So I was blessed to have them as friends, which I think all of them have gone on as well. What about you? Do you have people that have positively influenced your life? Maybe while I was sharing my stories, your mind was thinking back to people in your own life that have influenced you, and that's great. And I just want to take a couple minutes. If you could grab a piece of paper, your bulletin or anything, and a pencil or a pen, and I just want to give you a few minutes to write down some of those people who have influenced your life. It may be family, like I mentioned. It may be people who had no relation but were a part of your life that influenced you in positive ways. And so grab a bulletin, like I said, and a pen or a pencil, and let's just give you a couple minutes. I'll give you 2 minutes to write down people that have come to mind. Now, maybe at lunch some more will come to you, and that's great. But just right now, take a couple minutes to write down people who have influenced you. Now, what I'd like you to do with that piece of paper is I'd like you to take that home this week. I'd like you to keep it with the bulletin that has the prayer concerns on the back and your study guide, and I'd like you to lift up those individuals in your prayers. You may remember more, and that's great. Just continue the list. Just keep writing them down. And then this week, and maybe it's a tradition you'll want to start, every day just lift them up in prayer. Give God thanks and praise. We all know they weren't perfect, right? But they influenced us in positive ways, and that's very important. So make sure that you lift them up to God and give God thanks and praise for that. So you're probably asking, although that might be kind of cool, you're thinking, what does all this have to do with today's scripture? Well, if you still have your Bibles, or if you don't, would you please grab them, and let's turn that to Hebrews 12 again. Something that's important for you to know as we look at Hebrews is that this actually is a sermon. The book of Hebrews is actually a sermon that was preached in one setting. So really, to get the full effect, you need to start with chapter 1, verse 1, and read it out loud, right? And to get the full effect of what this sermon is about. But has anyone here ever been to a black worship or African-American worship service? Yeah. You know how the preacher preaches and he says something and then the congregation comes back with amen or, sometimes maybe even bring it home, brother, or something like that, you know, right? So the preacher, that usually means bring it to a close. That's what bring it home, brother, means. But anyway, so the preacher says something, the congregation comes back in this call and response, all right? Been working for that for 20 years of my ministry, and I have yet to find a church that can do that. So that's a challenge, man. Make it happen. All right. So anyway, whenever you're reading Hebrews, think about this call and response type preaching. And if you can picture in your mind this for our sake, a black preacher, he's starting low and slow, right? Hebrews 1:1. He's starting low and slow in his preaching. And then around 11, chapter 11, he begins to pick up the pace, so to speak, right? He talks about faith's hall of heroes, right? All of those who said yes to God and persevered through all kinds of hardships. And then he begins to talk about Abel and Enoch and Noah and then Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and on and on. And finally, the preacher reaches the high point of his sermon in chapter 12 and he says, "Therefore, since we were surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses," I got to say that, right? Witnesses, yeah, you've heard it before, haven't you? Yeah, "let us also lay aside every weight and every sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us." Right? Can you hear that? Can you hear how he does that? Laura's getting a kick out of it there. Now listen to what he says, though. "Looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God." Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Now, that's really exciting, but I don't want us to miss something. If we go back to the end of chapter 11, verse 40. So look at verse 39. The writer of Hebrews says, "Yet," so he lists all of these people, right? Through history, through Hebrew history, through Jewish history. And he says, "Yet all these people, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better." What did God provide that was better? Jesus, right? So they have something to celebrate. We have something to celebrate. Now listen, what does he say? He says, "so that," what? "They would not, apart from us, be made perfect." So what does Jesus do? That's hard to say, isn't it? That's hard to say. Jesus makes us, come on, say it with me, perfect. Jesus makes us, now here's what I want you to do. You can trust me, I'm just a fat, bald man here. Don't take anything personally there. Right. Seriously, I want you to close your eyes and I want you to look at yourself in the mirror. Pretend that you're looking yourself in the mirror. And I want you to say with me, "Jesus made me perfect." Let's say it. Jesus made me perfect. Remember what Dana said earlier? All the stuff you're going through, all those things that keep you separated from your Creator, all the things that people have convinced you that is wrong with you, that keep you separated from your Creator, and yet, wait, you're looking in the mirror, you're looking back at the reflection of yourself, and you say, "but Jesus has made me perfect." Let's say it now, come on. Jesus has made me perfect. You remember what chapter 12 begins with? It's a turning point. Therefore is a turning point, right? Remember that black preacher? He's got that energy boiled up, right? He's not slow anymore, is he? He's got it. He's up here. He's at the top of his voice. Top of his volume of his voice. And he says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us put aside every weight. Remember what I was just talking about? Jesus has made you what? Let us put aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. Excuse me for using this as an example, but our great pianist over here burnt her finger. Was it apple pie? She didn't invite me over. I'm really aggravated. But no, seriously. Has any of you ever gotten hot sugar on your finger? It doesn't go away, does it? I mean, you can put it underwater and for a split second too long, amen, it's still on there burning bad, isn't it, right? Now listen to this. Let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that what? Clings so closely, just like that sugar that burns us whenever it's so hot, right? Let us lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. You thought I forgot, didn't you? Looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. So what the preacher of Hebrews is saying is that the high priestly ministry of Jesus Christ establishes a great unbroken cord of faith that stretches from the beginning of human history all the way to the heavenly sanctuary in the city of God, where the cord has been securely fastened and anchored by whom? Jesus. You see, this cord is called Hebrews' parable of salvation. And it turns out not to be just a pathway traveled by the Son, not just something Jesus forms, but a chain, folks, of faithful people holding on to the cord and to each other. Do you hear where I'm going today? The links are formed by faithful people, hand in hand, generation after generation, holding fast to each other and to our confession. It is by this cord of faith that Jesus brings many children to glory and makes all of the saints, what? You are made perfect. However, there's a gap in the line of the faithful. There's a space in the ark to be filled by those who hear the gospel, by you and by me. We are to step up to the cord. We are to join with those who through the ages have held on by faith. It is in this sense of forming that unbroken community of faith that our ancestors would not, apart from us, be made perfect. Hebrews 11, verse 40. So now this great cord is passing through this sanctuary. It's going out the back door there. It's coming through here. And it is our turn to form the human links of faith that join the whole chain to Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. The saints that we have remembered today are a part of that cord of faith, folks. That includes people in history of this local church that have extended this unbroken chain. And if we look further, we see Paul, we see disciples, we see Jesus, we see prophets, we see Moses, we see Abraham. It goes on and on and on. And what is that cord anchored in heaven by? Jesus. Folks, it is our responsibility to carry this line onto the next generations. It is our responsibility not only, well, as a church, and who is the church? Each one of us individually, it is our responsibility to carry this on generation after generation. Quite honestly, it is the only reason we are here today. The only reason why you are here today is because the people before you have been faithful and hung on to that cord of salvation. Do you understand that? I mean, somewhere down deep inside, all of us know it, but do we ever really think about it, right? It is the only reason why you are here. It is the only reason why I am here. And the people who are the history of this church, it's the only reason why this church is here, is because they have been faithful to this church. They have been faithful to the cord of salvation. Folks, a great cloud of witnesses who have gone on before us surround us right now. They are cheering us on in the race of life because they know the importance of the race. They know the importance of putting one foot in front of the other, don't they? They've been there, done that, and probably most have many t-shirts to prove it. They are cheering us on and depending on us to not give up, to have endurance, to persevere, to make it to the finish line, to bring people to this, what they call the parabola of salvation, this cord of faith. But my question for you this morning is this: are you going to step up? Are you going to join this long chain of people, of faithful people? Are you going to grab a hold of the chain, and are you going to extend that chain beyond you to the next generation, to your friend down the street, to maybe that enemy that, you know, really gets on your nerves? Again, the only reason why we are here is because people have been faithful to that cord of salvation. People have been faithful to this church, to the church. And that is why we are here today. So are you going to step up and support and participate so that future generations will come forward and continue? There is power. There is power in each of you. There's power here today. And folks, you know good and well, there's power in the saints that have gone on before us. And they're cheering us on in this race. Let's pray. We celebrate you today, God. We celebrate all those wonderful people who have gone on before us, who have clung tightly to that cord of faith, that cord of salvation. We give you thanks and praise that Jesus was the founder of the faith. We give you praise, God, that he gives us strength and courage to carry on, that he gives us strength and courage to extend that hand of salvation to others. We give you praise in Jesus' holy name.